Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Overcoming the Acceptable Christian Sin of Gluttony podcast, a companion podcast to the Acceptable Christian Sin of Gluttony preaching homily message series. The purpose of this podcast is to share with you from a biblical perspective the means by which we can combat and overcome the ugly ancient sin of gluttony and its outcome of obesity and all of the evil diseases that come from that. By the way, I have some good news for you. I'm not bragging, but due to God's grace and the Daniel fast, and eating more vegetables, and making some other lifestyle changes, plus continuing to exercise, when I went to my regular doctor, my general doctor, he told me that I lost nearly 30 pounds. And I give God the glory, praise, and honor. So I'm not just going to preach about it and talk about it. By the grace of God, I'm going to be about it. And I want to encourage you to be about it. You don't have to get mad about it. Just stop eating all that meat. And move more towards killing the fatted calf, if you will, on special days. For example, Memorial Day just passed. It's okay if you had a hamburger, even a hot dog, as long as it is as long as it was 100% beef. It's okay to have a steak. It's okay to have some barbecue chicken on Memorial Day. Okay? And if you are a patriotic individual, it's okay to do something similar on the 4th of July in about a month or so. Then after that, you ought to go through the summer eating salads and along with one of my favorites, avocado, and vegetables, and just enjoy yourself with that. You can go on the DASH diet, Mediterranean diet, or the RAVE diet, which we recommend, or the Hallelujah diet. It all works. And you'll be amazed at what God will do just by changing your diet to a vegetarian type diet and eating meat such as chicken, fish, and beef on special occasions. Sunday dinner is open for that. It's hard to leave church and just eat some vegetables. I know it's hard. It's hard to do that. But by the grace of God, go ahead and make that lifestyle change. And you will see, if you exercise at least 3 times a week, you will see the pounds come off of you without much effort. Be that as it may, our passage from the Word of God today is Numbers 11:1-6, which reads, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again, and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Our dear Israelite brethren knew how to eat. But the word of God says, But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Now, let's look at gluttony in the news. According to the AFP, Agence France-Presse, researchers have warned that 27 years from now, almost a quarter of the global population will be obese. I think we're almost there, if not more than that. Data presented at the European Congress on Obesity in Vienna last week reveals that if current trends continue, 22% of people in the world will be obese by 2045. You don't want to be in that minority. It's okay to be a minority, but you don't want to be in that minority. Up from 14% last year. Additionally, 1 in 8 people, up from 1 in 11, will have type 2 diabetes, a form of the disease that generally hits in adulthood as a result of being overweight. And not only being overweight, but diabetes is all about eating food that you don't need, that does not do anything for your body but store up fat. So is as you get older, let me put it to you plainly, as you are moving towards death, you don't need and you cannot burn the fuel you used to burn and what you needed when you were younger. When I was in my early 20s, I could eat anything and just burn it up by just living. That's not the case anymore for me, and it's not the case for most of you. And yes, I understand genetics has a lot to do with things, but we can't go by that. We have to focus on what we can do. We can't change our genetics. We cannot change what mom and them did. Okay? So we have to focus on what we can do. So, beloved, in this podcast, we're going through the fine book, The Rave Diet and Lifestyle, The Natural Foods Diet with Meals That Heal by Mike Anderson. He writes, Diet schemes have become so bad that we now have diets that are like nutritional astrology, such as the dial a blood type diet. Since the majority of Americans are either type O or type B, the blood type diet has served as a way to justify gluttonous ways of eating and is similar to the Atkins diet for the O and B blood types, by the way. On a major publication today, There was an article that said the, once again, the Atkins diet leads to heart problems, heart troubles, heart attacks and strokes. By the way, Dr. Atkins himself died of a heart attack. So that ought to tell you something. Yet people are still buying Atkins products. Be that as it may, there are a number of things these popular diets have in common. Among them, they promise immediate weight loss. We're talking over a pound a day. Now, if that doesn't get the attention of someone desperate to lose weight, nothing will. And these books always have some unique, clever scheme which is apparently unknown to the rest of the scientific world. Unfortunately, the real world doesn't work that way. Despite claims that you can eat all you want, if you calculate the menu plans of these popular diet books, they're all calorie restriction diets. After you get past the smoke and mirrors, it boils down to calories in, calories out. After an exhaustive analysis of some 107 diets, the American Medical Association found that all these popular diets had nothing to do with restricting carbohydrates and had everything to do with restricting calories. Recently, a study confirmed that everyone should have known in the first place, and that is the thinnest people in the world eat the highest amount of complex carbohydrates and the fattest people eat the highest amount of animal protein. Allow me to repeat that in your hearing, as the old preachers used to say. Recently, a study confirmed what everyone should have known in the first place. The thinnest people in the world eat the highest amount of complex carbohydrates, and the fattest people eat the highest amount of animal protein. Of course, these popular diets do work in the short term. But then again, any calorie restriction diet will work in the short term. You could eat nothing but lard, and if you had fewer calories coming in than going out, you'd lose weight. The problem boils down to sticking with these bizarre diets in the long haul. In fact, 3 years later, 95% of the people who thought they had been saved from everlasting weight gain are off these strange diets. Not only did the weight return, but their behavior, or rather, pardon me, but they're heavier now than when they started the diet, and they've increased their percentage of body fat to boot. They would have been better off had they never started the diet in the first place. In fact, research shows that dieters gain more weight in the long run than those who don't follow any weight loss diet at all. Let's pray for ourselves. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for our time together. And thank you, Lord, for pointing out this problem in your church. As, Lord, we have said before, you have been very gracious to those of us who have practiced the sin of gluttony, including myself. Why you have shown so much mercy and given us so much grace and so much space, I do not know. Probably because you know how much born-again ones like to celebrate. And it's a part of our DNA, our spiritual DNA, to celebrate, and food is a big part of that. And you've been very gracious and merciful to us. However, you have lovingly and tenderly and softly rebuked me and others about it. And We thank you for that. And we pray that you would help us to respond to your grace and your love and to repent of overdoing it when it comes down to eating. And help us to call it what it is, the ugly sin of gluttony, and help us to repent of it and to permanently change our eating habits. You've done that in my life. I thought I would never see the day, and I thank you for doing that without a major health crisis. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will move upon the hearts of millions of Christians everywhere to repent of the sin of gluttony, the sin that we have accepted. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, my beloved, in this series, as we focus on overcoming the sin of gluttony and managing our bodies as God intended, we must not lose sight of the most important part of our existence, our spiritual life. Even those of you who are fit, who eat right, and who exercise regularly must still address the condition of your soul. You may keep your body in perfect condition till the day you die, but you will still die. We all will. And the only thing that will matter in this world is the condition of your soul. And so I ask you today, is your soul in shape? Is your soul in right standing with God? The only way to make sure of that is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin and the consequences of sin. He alone can save your soul, put you in right standing with God, and ensure that you do not perish in hell. Now, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, here is how you can trust Him today. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner, and that you have broken God's laws, the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful, people too afraid to get saved because of what their friends and their family members might say, and unbelieving, those who claim to be agnostics and atheists, and the abominable, cruel and mean and nasty people who do abominable things, abominations, and murderers, people who kill others, and whoremongers, people who have sex outside of the bonds of marriage, and sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo, and idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now that is bad news, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins. In fact, he suffered, bled, and died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today, and he will save your soul. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, dear friend, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, and you want to trust him for your salvation today, please pray with me this simple prayer and mean it from your heart. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase. Holy Father God, I realize and I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. I am sorry for my sins, and today I choose to turn from my sins by your grace and by your help. Help me to repent of my sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, and with your help, I will follow him as my Lord from this day forward. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life forever today. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. A dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.